You're listening to the Tip In Maple Leafs podcast with your hosts, Chad and Dave. Hey, everybody, welcome to the Tip In Maple Leafs podcast, episode number 258. I'm Chad.
I'm Dale.
We're going to be talking some Leaf hockey, and we also got some news to share with you. We've joined up with the Hockey Podcast Network. So nothing's changing. Just now we're a part of the Hockey Podcast Network family.
Yep.
And we got a couple more fan videos
Yep.
that we're going to play at some point. So it'll be a good show.
100%, brother. So 4-3 win over the Edmonton Oilers. Leafs go in there, beat them 4-3 in regulation. Was looking a little dicey there for a bit. Dreisaitl with an unallowed goal.
Yeah.
With a couple minutes left to go, which would have probably pushed this to OT. And like
the way the Oilers were coming on, they probably would have won the game.
100%, man. They were out shooting them. They were out playing them. Like, Joseph Woll, we'll get more into him. But anyway, Tavares and Knies return to the lineup. Knies, right? Like, key contributions from this guy all season long. So the Leafs blow a 3-0 lead. They do end up hanging on and winning 4-3. But skin of their teeth on this one, I would say. But what a difference, right? Like, we're last few podcasts, we're talking about secondary scoring. The only real secondary scoring we have is Knies and McMahon. That's it. If the top guys aren't putting it in, it's those two, and that's all we got. Like, I got a little bit more on Domi and a lot more on Woll and some injury news and different stuff here. But, like, really, Matthew Knies, I think, off the top is just kind of where I want to go here, just because how good he's been all year and how good of a power forward he's turned into, his net front presence. Chad, my first thing to you on this is, what are we waiting for as far as a contract extension? Why not get pen to paper right now? Why wait till the offseason? Why wait until this guy kills it in the playoffs and the price goes up? Why not put pen to paper and get this guy down on a fucking deal, new deal right now?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why they don't, especially with the salary cap being announced that it's going to go up pretty drastically over the next 3 years. Like, they've basically given managers a window being like, hey, this is how much money you could spend over the next couple of years. If I was the Leafs, guys like Knies, anybody I want to keep, I would get them on long-term deals now at a good number, because you see what the cap's going up to.
Mm-hmm.
Do it now.
Yeah, the projection over the next several years, it's going to go up like pretty significant. So, I mean, what's a fair deal for Matthew Knies? Is it five million? Would you go that high on an 8-year deal? I would.
Yeah, I probably would. Yeah,
I would.
Like, I mean, with the cap going up the way it is, God, by the time the cap's like $113 million and you've got Matthew Knies, if he's playing like this and better for $5 million.
Well, they gave Domi 4 and you're getting nothing. They gave Camp 2.5 and you're getting, okay, solid defensive play, but no offensive numbers. This guy's putting the puck in the net. He's parking his ass right in front
he's
of the net.
He's playing on the top line.
Playing on the top line. Like, five. Do you think his camp would do 5 times 8? Or are they thinking
maybe that's what they're waiting on. Like, maybe the Leafs are ready and willing to give him a contract right now, but the Knies camp is sitting back saying, hey,
what's the rush?
What's the rush? Every day his dollar value goes up, and with the cap going up, what's the rush?
Well, all I would say is, if I was Tree, I would be trying to, every day I would be, let's get something done here. Like, let's get something fair done. I would be more than happy with if he signs a $5 million contract for 8 years. I kind of think that might be a steal, to be honest. Like, look, Zach Hyman making $5 million. Think about that.
Yeah.
Like, think about what that contract, like, it's insane. He's just gotten nothing but better and better. And I see, like, a lot of similarities with those two guys. Like, can Knies be better than Hyman? I'm not going to necessarily go there, but I don't think it's that far of a stretch.
Yeah, I think all you're saying is that it's a type of player that we don't really have.
Oh,
we don't have a lot of guys like that. And Nyes is producing while also playing heavy, while also not afraid to get in there, muck it up, get in the corners. He's, like you say, I don't consider him like an ultimate power forward, but I do consider him a power forward.
He's projecting that way, though.
He's projecting that way.
Like, he's still a pup. He's still a pup,
He's so young.
He's a kid.
I'm pretty sure he can get offer sheeted, too, in the offseason.
That's very scary.
But it's not. With the cap going up and with Tavares' contract coming off, it's not as scary because the Leafs can probably match it depending on what they can. But you'd like to lock that up and not have to go down that road.
Lock it up. So, hey, Brad. Come on, Brad. That's a guy you don't want offer sheeted. You don't like, you're not losing him. Like, they would match it no matter what. But anyway, I'm just saying off the top.
Well, yeah, they would. But I mean, if it was last season, they probably didn't have the money.
No, I know. Now they will and whatever. But I'm hoping that's not the case and they can just get a deal done and whatever. But yeah, I think there would be a lot of interest in Matthew Nyes around the league, a ton. So anyway. We'll see what happens there. I think they will get something done. Will it be during the season? I think it's possible. It might go into the offseason. We'll see. So they blow a 3-0 lead. Didn't love that. They were outshot by like 20 shots at one point in this game. The Oilers were all over them, realistically. And I guess, like, we can get to the videos here in a second before we go to the goaltenders, but it's not sustainable, man. Like, I'm watching this and I'm like, you can't keep winning the way they're playing. And I got a lot of stuff coming here on like trade potential, not like trade rumors, but just like what I think needs to happen here for the Leafs to be successful in the playoffs. But this is not sustainable. Am I off on this? Like, Joseph Woll, I didn't actually love a couple of those goals, but one went right through him. I love the way that his overall game was.
Well, and they don't win without his overall game.
Absolutely not. And especially like down the stretch there, the last remaining minutes, like right at the buzzer, he makes 2-10 bellers right at the fucking buzzer in the third period. So like huge, huge saves, like saves that this team hasn't gotten in years. So I've been just absolutely blown away by Joseph Woll.
And a contract that doesn't even kick in till next year.
Crazy stuff, man. Stolarz is getting ready to go, more on that in a minute. But do you agree with my sentiment of like, this is not sustainable? Like,
absolutely.
You can't rely on the goalie every night. There needs to be more there. Like, sure. Like, can you rely on the goalie every night? Okay. Like Bobrovsky, like guys that do it. Sure. But is Woll or Stolarz going to give you 16 nights in the spring? Because that's all it takes, the magic number. You got to get to first one to 16. You're taking that baby home. Can Woll or Stolarz get you that performance 16 times in the playoffs? It's possible.
Yeah.
But not sustainable. I just don't... Am I off on that, or what do you think?
No, you're absolutely right. It's not sustainable. It's not a game plan. Your game plan can't be, all right, we're just going to rely on our goaltenders to bail us out until we score a couple goals. Can't do it. Not going to work. Not fair on the goalies either.
No.
They need some help as well. I don't know. Like, they've gone through these spells throughout the season. They did it a bit in the early part where they weren't scoring, but Stolarz and Woll were getting them points. And now they're doing it again.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Isn't it kind of weird that like it's the same team, but they've been shut out a bunch of times this year after not being shut out for how many, like 5 years?
Yep.
And they were a team that kind of always had shitty goaltending. Like, we had a lot of bad goalies.
Oh,
I know Anderson was good, but like, I don't know. We had bad goaltending, but we managed to sort of outscore our problems. And now we flipped.
Anderson was good, Chad, but not even in the big playoff games when you needed a save, you didn't really get it from Freddie. You didn't really get it from Freddie. Yes, he was good. He was probably the best of the group we've had.
Yeah, like he's better than Samsonov.
Of course.
But I'm just saying, like, it's kind of flipped, and all of a sudden they've become a team that's, and I don't know if it's Berube's system or what it is, but they've become a team that's reliant on goaltending.
Big time.
And if you weren't getting this incredible goaltending from Stolarz at the start and Wall in the later half,
where would they be? Not near the top of the Atlantic, I'll tell you that.
It might not even be in a wild card spot, considering how close the East is.
Like you said, how many times they've been shut out and only scored one goal. Like,
that never happened in the past few years. But maybe it's preparing us for the playoffs, or maybe it's something to worry about.
Yeah.
We'll find out.
A little bit of both. But anyway, it's not sustainable. It's just not. Like, they cannot keep winning the way they are playing, because eventually – it's if Wall or Stolarz has a dip, and maybe they don't. So maybe they don't, and it's all for naught. But it more than likely there will be a dip, and then they're in trouble. So anyway, Wall, just come on, incredible, absolutely incredible. And Stolarz looks ready to go. Three games left before the Four Nations kicks in. So Calgary on Tuesday night, Seattle on Thursday, and I think Vancouver on Saturday. So Stolarz, I mean, Wall was worked pretty heavy in that Edmonton game on Saturday.
Yeah.
Where would you go with Stolarz? Do you give him the Calgary game? I think I would.
Hey man, if he's ready to go, throw him in.
Like, you want to tax Wall? How much do you want to tax Joseph Wall here? You only got three.
You don't want to, and you also want to get Stolarz back in.
Let's get through these three games. Nice little 2-week break here, okay? Yeah, and then gear up for the final push. So do you not just go with Stolarz against the Flames? Like, why not? Why not, right?
Like I said, if he's ready to go, throw him in. There's no reason to dick around right now.
And then you go back to Wall against Seattle, and maybe you play Stolarz again in Vancouver, depending on how that goes. Like, just give Wall a bit. I'm not sure that they're going to do that. But I don't like the, like, I'm still in the back of my mind. Okay, like, come on. This guy's one save away from, he's going to blow his groin. You got to cool it. Yeah. You got to cool it down a little bit.
The thing that scares me is that this kind of always happens, is I'm really worried about him. And then I kind of stray away from that. And I'm like, all right, maybe he's got this figured out. And that's when it happens. And that's what's been happening lately. I'm not as worried when he does the big stretch saves, and that's when it'll happen.
Okay.
You got it. But Stolarz, throw Stolarz in the Calgary game, get him back in the net. Hopefully he looks if he looks even remotely like he did at the start of the year, we're okay. We'll be okay.
Agreed. Okay. So maybe before, if we play the videos now, it'll take us past the halfway point. Maybe we do the read now and we come back with the videos. So here we go, folks. For the first time now that we are partnered with the Hockey Podcast Network, that also includes DraftKings. We are now affiliated with DraftKings, and this will be our first podcast affiliated with them. Chad, anytime you'd like to take it away.
Yeah, let me tell you that this ain't no little itty bitty teeny tiny bowl. This is the Super Bowl coming up, and you can get in on the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 59. Scoring touchdowns is key to hoisting the Vince Lombardi trophy, and you have a shot to score big by betting on them at DraftKings Sportsbook, the number one place to bet touchdowns. New DraftKings customers can bet $5 and get up to $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use the code THPN. That's code THPN for new customers. Get $200 in bonus bets instantly when you bet just $5 only on DraftKings Sportsbook, where the crown is yours, baby.
There we go.
So we have some fan videos that we're going to play. We're going to start with, we had one sent in, and I forget the name, but I couldn't use it because it was kind of choppy and the audio was kind of off. But we're gonna go, I think it's Marlon, I hope I got his name right, Marlon from Toronto. Let's see what Marlon has to say. I think he's talking about the core four.
Okay.
Hey, my guys. I am Marlon from Toronto, Ontario. And my problem with this team is, man, it's like, how many years do we have to see the same thing? and we expect different. It's the same team the last 8 years, the same team that lost to Montreal in the playoffs, same team that lost to Columbus in the playoffs, the same team that has no heart. Your stars don't want to go to the, they don't want to play tough. Like, and like, I don't know, I've only been a Leaf fan, like I've been a Leafs fan for a while, but start really paying attention and diving into the Leafs for like the last 3 years. Bro, it all starts with your star players, man. It starts with your leader. Matthews, he's not that, man. For a true centerman, you got to make players around you better. I don't feel he does that, you know. And like for the power play, I don't even think it should be Marner doing the ditzy doodle. I think it should be Matthews. He's the most dynamic threat on the ice, but all he wants to do is shoot first mentality. He doesn't want to go to the tough areas of the ice. So if your captain's not doing it, why would it trickle down to the rest of the players? You got to break up the core four. You cannot win paying four guys 10 mil. And the Leafs are about to double down and pay Matthew Nyes all this money, and he hasn't accomplished anything. The organization needs to grow a pair of balls and just get rid of this core, man. Break it up. It doesn't work. Morgan Rielly is not good. That's it, man.
First of all, shout out to his, what was his name? Marlon?
Marlon, yeah. I think it's Marlon.
If we don't have that right, sorry, brother. Send us another video, whatever, if we don't have the name right. But his hoodie, the Toronto Ballers is what I think it said there. I'm not.
Yeah, that's familiar, what I saw too.
Not familiar with that team, but I like it. I mean, valid points, of course. Like we've all been watching. Well, he said he hasn't been watching as long as we have.
But the funny thing is you could have played that video after the playoffs 3 years ago, after the playoffs 4 years ago. Like it's still relevant to this day. There is a lot of the fan base that just wants a change in this core.
Yeah, like it sounds like he's only been watching since like the bubble year, kind of like he touched on the Montreal loss in the playoffs. And yeah, like, look, I've gone back and forth on this many times. What do? You keep these guys together? Do you not? Whatever. But it's all irrelevant, man, because the guy at the very head of the snake, Brendan Shanahan, the president of hockey ops, he's not interested in anything but these four guys. Rielly, I'm not so sure anymore. Like, I think there's an argument to be made, depending on how things play out this year, that they could potentially look to move off of Morgan Rielly. But the other four, I think Tavares stays, the price tag drops, and I think they're going to sign Mitch Marner. I could be wrong. Mitch could walk in the offseason. I don't think they're going to trade Mitch. I think he either Tree Living signs him, or Marner decides to go for the money and he leaves. So just through like circumstance, you might get your wish and some of the core four might be no more. But Matthews and Nylander, they're not going anywhere. I think they're going to re-sign Mitch. I think probably Tavares sticks around at a lower dollar amount. Rielly remains to be seen. But, you know, the whole blow it up thing, I mean, we're kind of past that at this point, are we not? Are we not past that at this point?
I think we kind of.
He makes good points, but like
he makes really good points. But I think at the end of last season, if they didn't do it then, because let's face it, we were on here just saying break up the core. Every radio station you turned on, break up the core. Every fan you talked about was so livid after that Boston series. It was like. And the gun was pointed at Marner. Get out of town.
I couldn't get Mitch out of here quick enough. So
that's the way it was. But they brought them all back. And to me, there's nothing that indicates, even if they get bounced in the first round this year, there's nothing to me that indicates they're not going to just bring them back again.
Here's what I will say, though. There's no bullets left. There's a new coach. He's not going anywhere. There's a new GM. He's not going anywhere. The president, okay, that could be an off-ice move that I could see if there's failure, that Shanny gets the boot and maybe Tree Living takes his job and he's like president and GM, or they hire a new president. I don't know. But with like, it's got to be player personnel at this point. New coach not going anywhere. New GM not going anywhere. If they fail in the first round again and it goes south and it does not look good,
there's no one to blame.
It's got to be the on ice. Does it not?
You're right. There's nothing left to blame. There's nothing left to blame but the guys on the ice. But at the same time, I would have said at the end of last season, I mean, I know you could fire Sheldon Keefe, but I think at the end of last season, it was so many failures in a row. Wouldn't you have said, that's it. There's no more bullets.
Of course.
And they brought them all back.
Of course. Yeah, but new coach, though.
New coach.
Try it a different
one
way.
Thing, a different one way. Thing I will say, though, they haven't signed Marner yet. And the fact that there looks like they're going to wait until the playoffs is a little... It makes me feel a little better because everyone else has just gotten a contract in the middle of the year. They've just been like, here you go. Yeah. Anyway, let's do another one.
Hang on quickly. Just to touch on another one, another point that he made there. Because last podcast, I was talking about the Edmonton power play and how McDavid kind of does the
dipsy. Oh, yeah, yeah. He was saying Marner shouldn't do the dipsy doodle.
Yeah, he thinks it should be Matthews. So I don't have a problem with that either. But, like, I guess the thing with that is, like, McDavid, the guy that does it for Edmonton, like this guy was saying that like Matthews is shoot first mentality. Well, so is McDavid, but McDavid will find the open. Like if McDavid's got a chance to shoot, he's fucking shooting, man. Like he's not pass first. There's nothing about McDavid that is pass first, but if he doesn't have a lane and doesn't have a shot, he'll dish it. But
that happens more often than not with McDavid. When he has the puck, he's always double teamed, so it opens up a lane to pass.
For sure. Look, if you just look at the Matthews, incredible. Marner, incredible. But if I want one of those guys playing the McDavid role, I'm sorry, this is just my opinion. It's not Matthews. Mitch is quicker. He's got better hands with the puck. Now, I'm not talking about putting the puck in the net. He sees
the ice better.
So that's what I would say on that. Do you agree?
Yeah. I will also say this, that like when you say you watch a lot of Oilers games, but I don't. And when I do, it just really drives home the point, like how great McDavid is.
Oh my God.
There's always, like sometimes you hear the debate like, well, Matthews and them. No, I'm sorry, man. McDavid is the greatest player in the league.
Without a doubt. And 29's right there, man. He's incredible. Yeah. He's incredible. So like,
they made Matthews and Marner look bad on Saturday.
Oh, dude. Draisaitl and McDavid, they're a different level. They're a different level. They're beasts.
The way they play, like, they're just... Anyway.
But anyway, great points.
We got another video. This guy sent in a video last time. He just sent this in, I swear to God, 5 minutes before we started recording. So we haven't seen it. I don't know if he's... nude or if we're gonna get a surprise, but we're gonna find out right here. This is Chris from Oshawa.
Okay.
Yeah, just at work. I work a dirty job, but friggin' that was a hell of a game on Saturday. I thought that was a fun game. I mean, people were ripping on the Leafs because the Oilers were going so hard, but I mean they did what they had to do to win. Like they were up 3-0 at one point, so the Oilers were coming back, you know, hardcore, right? And they have like just waves and waves of offense. I thought the Leafs did pretty good. I mean, that was probably Joseph Woll's best game of his career. It was nice to see the power play, you know, get two goals. And I don't know, people will rip on the team because they're relying on goaltending. But, you know, I can't remember a Leafs team that actually had, like, actual goaltending, like, ever. I mean, Freddie Anderson was good for a bit, but he wasn't anything like... the way Joseph Woll's playing right now, and hopefully Stolarz comes back later this week and he starts playing again, then we can have a little goalie battle about who's going to start game one of the playoffs.
All right. Yeah. He's kind of reiterating what we already talked about.
We kind of touched on that, but one thing you have to say about that is incredible mustache on that.
Oh my God. What a mustache.
Incredible mustache. But yeah, like all, again, valid points. We kind of basically just said all those things about 5 minutes ago, but so agree, 100% agree with like everything he said there. Like he's bang on the money. Anything to add to that, or we'll move on.
Yeah, we'll just keep moving. I just will say, if you want to get on, if you want to rant about the team or anything in your life, You can go to our Facebook or Instagram page. You can find us at the Tip In Maple Leafs Podcast. You can send us a DM through there, or you can email us thetipinpodcast@gmail.com. Send us a video. If you don't want to be seen, just send an audio file and we'll play it and we'll discuss it right here on the show.
100%. Send us your takes. Send us whatever you want, for sure. 100%. So kind of go quick here because I want to get to one main topic before we get out of here. But Ekman-Larsson left with an injury. Marner, a little banged up, missed practice today. I think they were calling it a maintenance day. Both will be a game time decision tomorrow night or Tuesday night in Calgary. So I don't think there's anything too concerning there. Just maintenance, whatever. So don't have to spend it. I just thought I'd throw that in there. Domi again, not good. I didn't like the look of that third line, specifically Robertson and Domi. Like I think Domi played like 9 minutes or something like that. It's just like,
oh, Berube's done with this guy.
It seems like Berube doesn't know what to do with him. Although he has not tried him up on the top line, but like what? Like he had when Nyes was out, instead of putting McMahon deserved to be there over Domi. So I get that, but that was the time to like, okay, here's a couple games where we're going to be without Nyes. Maybe let's put Max there and see what's up. But now it's just like you're Berube does not seem to have any time for Max Domi.
No, like, like you said, I don't even know if he's completely fed up or if he's just like, I've tried what I could do other than put him on the top line. He's tried and he's just not producing. What can you do?
I don't know. Like, and
play him 9 minutes a night for $4 million.
And well, that's just it. Like, he's got 3 years left, right? And same with Robertson. I've kind of come to an end with this guy too. Like, it's just
I think Robertson's going to be dealt.
It's not going to. Well, I kind of want to see what Domi can do in the playoffs, but also I'm just like, no, not really. Like,
if he got dealt, you wouldn't give a shit.
No way. Fuck, man. Absolutely would not even bat in. No way. Like, I don't want this guy for another 3 years at that price. Are you kidding me? If I got a chance to deal Domi tomorrow, done.
Well, that's the good thing about the cap being announced is there's going to be teams that need to get to the floor. They'll take on contracts like that. Like, it's going to open up the trade market all of a sudden. You won't be stuck with these contracts.
But do you see any team around the league, Chad, looking at the lease and being like, oh, yeah, I'd really like to bring in that number 11, Max Domi?
Well, like, if you're a team in the basement and like,
He's going to help
us. No, but you know the cap's going to go up next year. And I don't know what Domi's cap breakdown is, but a lot of time the Leafs pay guys the cash. And then the team basically just has to take the cap hit. So a lot of teams needing to get to the floor. I'm not saying it's going to happen with Domi, but when the cap goes up like that, it does alleviate teams to make trades. So you can get rid of contracts like that. You can fix your mistakes, but that's on tree limbing. That was probably his worst signing.
Running, but they didn't think that they were going to be getting this, right?
But like, you didn't need to give him 4x4 or whatever the hell he got. Like he got 4 years, right? Yeah,
4 years. It's crazy, man. It's crazy. It is crazy. I don't know. I can't defend him anymore. No, you can't defend him, but like, I don't even know what to do with the fucking guy. Like, I would try to include him in a deal. I don't even know. Like, you might have to eat some of the money. I don't know. Like, or you ride it out. You hope he flicks a switch in the playoffs and he might help.
And they're going to do that. They're going to see what he does in the playoffs. But if this continues throughout the playoffs and he has done, you can't go 3 more years of this.
Dude, we're heading into Four Nations here. Like, there's only, a month and a half? Oh, no,
Well, they've played over 50 games.
Yeah, so there's, after Four Nations, there's, 2 months left. Like, a week in February, all of March, two and a half weeks in April, whatever. So
you think he's going to go on a heater or what?
No, I don't think he's going to go on a heater, but he did have a good second half last year, but look who he was playing with. So, no, 3 goals, it's not good enough. It's just, I don't have the answers for Domi. I don't know what you do. If you can deal him, I would deal him. I just would deal him. I would create a roster spot for something else. What I want to talk about here. I think that some teams moving and shaking over the weekend. Vancouver. Ooh. They trade JT Miller to the Rangers did not love this trade whatsoever.
He had a no trade clause.
I know. I understand that. But I think that you probably could have got a better deal than the deal they got. I think they got a conditional first or like it's a protected first, so it can't be like, I think if the Rangers miss the playoffs, they
it
don't
goes to next year.
Goes to next year. So I think it was a first and a second, and Chittle or whatever his name is, Chittle or whatever. He's injury prone all the time. This guy's banged up all the time. So I don't love that trade. But then they weren't done there. Vancouver made another fucking deal, and they added like three or four other fucking guys too. So Vancouver moving and shaking. Not surprised to see JT Miller traded. Obviously, he goes to fucking New York, and he had himself a hell of a weekend. I'm not sure if you caught that. The game against Boston and then the game against Vegas. He was killing it.
Can you imagine how happy he feels probably to be out of Vancouver?
He's on the power play. He scored the first – it was a 3:30 p.m. game against Boston on Saturday. He scored the first goal of the game for the Rangers. And, like, he's ripping home power play goals in Vegas. And, like, he's just, like, didn't miss a beat. If anything, he looked like he was – like, he looked like a better player.
Oh, it's probably just mentally, like, the relief to be out of Vancouver for that guy.
Anyway, so a lot – and San Jose making trades – like there's teams making moves. Tree Living kind of sitting on his paws right now. Like, I'm sure he was in on things, but here's like the main thing I want to get to here tonight, Chad. It's like Tree Living needs to make a move. Like, what should he be looking for? We kind of already know this. Center, scoring depth, defense, a puck moving defenseman without a doubt. But I think this is the year that the Leafs need to go all in. Look at it. Look at the Atlantic. Look at the Metro. Look at the Western Conference. Like, look at the league as a whole. The Leafs have as good a chance this season as anyone. There's been a lot of teams that have not played up to their potential, and there's just kind of this bubble of like 10 teams where any one of them turns it on in the spring and they could win the cup. I think the Leafs are in that group. You look at the way their goaltending has played. If that continues, this is the year I think they need to go all in, because it's right there for them to take.
Yep.
What do you think?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, not only that, not only is kind of the division, the Atlantic, definitely weak. Like, it's for the taking. You could finally play a first round where you can avoid Boston or Tampa or anybody like that and play.
Well, probably not. But
no, you'll probably get them anyway. But anyway.
You might get the Rangers.
Yeah, that's what will happen, eh? The Rangers will get hot and you'll get Shesterkin in the first round.
Could happen.
Also, like Matthews, Marner, these guys are going into their prime. Like, Leafs are one of the oldest teams in the league. Go for it. This is it. What are you sitting around waiting for?
There's no, the parity right now. And like we all know who the 10 teams are that legitimately could win it.
Yep. And like you say, everyone else seems to always do stuff. And the Leafs just sit back and don't really do anything.
Well, like, guys are starting to go, right? So what's Tree waiting for? Like, I'm trying to think of, like, what would be the play here? Like, we all know, like, okay, third line center or potentially an upgrade on Tavares, a second line center. You push JT down. I don't know. Whatever. Maybe another depth forward plus maybe a defenseman or two. Like, there's some things there that they need. The way it's currently constructed, I'm not sure they can do it. Well, with the goaltending like we saw on Saturday night, yes, they probably could, but they're going to need more help than that.
Yeah.
Anybody stand out for you? Like, for me, it's the Preds. It's the Predators, one-stop shopping. There's a ton of guys there. How do you make the money work? I don't know. Like, am I dreaming? Stamkos, Forsberg, probably dreaming there, but O'Reilly, okay. You know, but
in
O'Reilly,
a cap world, you're dreaming.
O'Reilly, Shen, I know, but like, I don't know, man. Like, there's just, for me, it's, I've heard rumors about guys from Philadelphia. Even they were making moves more. They traded Morgan Frost. Like, everyone's making moves. Like, before the Four Nations, not the Leafs. Just no, all good here.
Frost would have been a nice pickup for the Leafs.
Sure.
Andy Frost's boy.
100%.
He can pop in a few goals. I don't know, man. Like, I don't know why they're not making moves. I don't know what they're sitting around. I guess it's probably salary cap reasons that they're sitting on the sidelines watching everything happen. But I am with you. Go all in. Do whatever you can, because like 5 years from now, this is all over. You won't have this chance again. 100%. Go for it now.
You got to go for it now. Like, whatever it takes. Like, I don't love the idea of trading Minton or Cowan, but I'm coming around to it. Like, I want to see those guys. And I know you need, like, young guys up and coming, but they don't have a lot of picks. There's not a lot in the Marlies that, like, is going to excite other teams. So,
but maybe you can get someone back, like a veteran back with some term on his contract. Cause that's another good thing with the cap going up. Like you talked about Kadri.
Yeah. Forget a rental.
That's what I mean. Like all of a sudden you could look at this and say, okay, Kadri makes whatever, $7 million a year. Okay. We can fit that in for next year and sure the year after and the sure year. Cause you know what the cap's going to be. So maybe they're trying to target someone with term and kind of go on not just a run this year, but a run next year and a run the year after that.
Man, I would love that. Like,
but the window's closing, man.
They're playing Calgary. I know the window's closing. They're playing Calgary Tuesday night. Conroy, the GM of the Flames, has come out and said, Kadri, we're not interested in that. Now, okay, maybe they're not.
And especially when Brad calls.
Well, yeah, like I just can't see that happening. Would I love to get Nazem Kadri back? Yeah. Absolutely, man. He's a fucking killer. He's a killer. Like, that's exactly what they need. He can take Tavares' spot, second-line center. You bump JT down, away we fucking go.
And he wants to be a Leaf.
I just think it's unrealistic. I just don't think Calgary is – I don't know if I take Conroy at his word. Like, if a deal pops up that, like, makes sense for the Flames, but, like, that's for sure, including, like, Cow and Minton. Like, that's going to be something big. Like, they're not just going to hand you Nazem Kadri, right?
I don't know. I would have said the same thing about JT Miller.
Well, there was all kinds of problems there, though. Like that I know, was, that, but it's that's still a completely like, different situation.
Yeah, it is. You probably have to give up a little bit, but I've been kind of surprised. Like, I was surprised at the Rantanen deal. I was surprised at the JT Miller. I've been surprised at what these guys, the return is. I know the Miller thing had a lot of drama and the no trade clause and everything attached to it. So maybe you could get them for less than what we think. Probably not for peanuts, but for less than what we think.
I don't know.
I'd be all over it, though, man. It'd be awesome. Oh, yeah. Bringing Naz back.
We'll see. Let us know what you guys think. Like, who should they be targeting here? Because there's guys falling off the board, seems like, every day now. So, I'm not sure. Like, just...
Is there a freeze during the Four Nations?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think so.
So, basically, if they don't make a move this week, then there's a freeze... And then basically they just have like what, 10, 15, 10, 2 weeks?
After the Four Nations is over, there's like a week before the trade deadline. So it's go time.
I was going to say 10 like, days or something, a week. Yeah. So basically if they don't do anything this week, make a move, then they have just leading up to the trade. And I would like to see it happen before the trade deadline.
Well, look at how many teams are making moves and like big moves.
That's what she said. Big moves.
I don't know. I'd like to see something go down here, but,
Today I was downtown and I was trying to turn right. Like I was at the red light and I was waiting for a guy to cross the road. And if you guys don't know Peterborough, we got a little bit of a drug problem in Peterborough. We got some crazy people downtown. Well, this guy just stopped, turned at me and just started thrusting his hips in the middle of the intersection. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What the fuck's the guy doing?
Yeah. Who knows?
Big, but the big moves, that made me think of it because I was like, that's some big moves.
Oh, he's working on his night moves like Bob Seger, big time. Working on my night moves. Anyway, man, I don't know. Let us know what you guys think, though. Like, who would you like to see them target defenseman-wise, forward-wise, looking for big names, depth pieces? Let us know because
let us know in the comments or send in a video and just list off the players you think would fit in this roster and bring a cup back to Toronto.
100%. So last thing before we go, Chad, is I just want to include this quickly. It has nothing to do with the Leafs. Done with the Leafs talk, but we'll be back for several podcasts this week. We'll be back here. Utah, they're down to three potential names. They were trying to trademark Yeti, couldn't do it. I think there's like an alcohol company, whatever. No,
they make the mugs and coolers.
Oh, okay. Yeah, like yeah. Sorry. You're right. So the three names they've narrowed it down to: Utah Mammoth, Utah Outlaws, and the Utah Hockey Club. Oh, wait. Sorry. What's that? Breaking news. Oh, they've just added one more.
Oh,
the
nice.
The Utah Horny Mormons.
I like that. UHM, baby.
No, sorry. That's a joke. But the Mammoth, the Outlaws, or keeping it the hockey club, what says you out of the three?
I like Horny Mormons. I like that. I would probably go Mammoth.
Yeah, so would I. Outlaws is growing on me though a little bit. I wouldn't keep it the hockey club. I just like got to get a logo in there, and like you could do a lot of cool things with the Mammoth logo and whatever. But I think I would go Utah Mammoth. But Outlaws not the worst either. But I also saw some people online being like, why does it have to be Utah? Why can't they call the team Salt Lake? Like, I guess they're not going to do that now. But I heard some cool like Salt Lake City Saints or whatever. Like, that's a pretty cool name.
Yeah, Utah is kind of a weird name to throw something on the end of it.
Yeah,
Utah.
Well, I like Mammoth too. I don't know if we talked about this before, but like the basketball team, the Utah Jazz. Like, what if they followed suit with that and they called the team like the Utah, like,
but
music,
what is it?
Like something music, like the
Does
Utah
Jazz Rock have or, anything to do with Utah? Like it. They, jazz I think didn't they come from Utah.
I think they love like a good. There? I think they love a good jazz flute out there, big time.
They like the jazz.
I don't know. I have no idea, but
I don't know.
They could have followed suit and went like Utah Jazz, Utah Rock, or something. I don't know. Maybe that's not as good as Mammoth, but whatever. Anyway, just Utah. I thought I'd just see what your thoughts were on what that team. Wow. Yeah, I think I would go Mammoth.
Mammoth or Horny Mormons.
Because Mammoth is like, that means a lot of things. If you like Mammoth, like the woolly mammoth, yes. But Mammoth also, I might have this wrong. Mammoth, does Mammoth also mean like huge? Like humong, something very large? Like Mammoth? Or do I, am I wrong on that?
No, I think you're thinking of something else.
Okay, I think I am too.
What's the word?
I don't know. Anyway,
I don't know. There is a word that sounds like mammoth that means gigantic, but it's not mammoth.
Okay, well, anyway. Could have been a double meaning there, but anyway, we can go
ahead. Oh, no, you're right. You are right. It has a double meaning.
Massive also means massive.
It means, this is what it says, immensely enormous.
Okay, so then I think this is this.
And it
this,
also is an extinct elephant.
Okay, so I think this is over. This is over.
So, but you want to name the mammoth, but not after the extinct elephant. You want to name the mammoth after something that is enormous.
Yes, enormous. Mammoth. Like, mammoth. If you're playing for a team and your name is the Utah Mammoth, how good are you going to be feeling about hitting the ice every night when you know, like, yeah, there's a lot of massive things that we're bringing to the table here. Massive. So anyway,
you want a logo that's just an elephant dick?
Well, yeah, kind of. or at least a big trunk. At least a big trunk.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
Anyway, all right, let's bow tie this.
All right, for the Tippin' Maple Leafs podcast, don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at the Tippin' Maple Leafs podcast. If you're watching this on YouTube, hit like, hit subscribe, leave a comment below. Let us know what you think about this team, what trade they should make. And if you want to ramble on video or audio, email the Tippin' Podcast at gmail.com or DM us on social media. And until next time, I'm Chad.
I'm Dale.
We will.
The road trip continues Tuesday night in Calgary and then Thursday night in Seattle. Will Anthony Stolarz be back in net for one of those games? I imagine he will. Be interesting to see how his knees are looking and all that. So should be interesting week here for the Leafs leading up to the Four Nations. Thanks for watching, guys. Thanks for listening. Go Leafs, go. Let's get, you know, let's keep this going here. Let's go into the Four Nations break on a nice little four-game winning streak. How about that? Wouldn't that be nice? Western Canada, tons of Leafs fans in those buildings. It's going to be great the rest of this week. Should be awesome. Thanks for watching, guys. Go Leafs, go. Like I said, catch you later.
You're listening to the Tip In Maple Leafs podcast with your hosts, Chad and Dave.